Today on Talk About That, I invent a new television, sweat profusely, and share my best travel tips. Meanwhile, John wants to live to be 119, hates needles, and forgets the words to a song he wrote. Plus, a conversation about imposter syndrome. Today's episode is not sponsored by Arby's. We have the meat sweats. Let's do this.
Johnny, it's another time to talk about that.
We're here.
Hey, man. You know, that can mean anything.
That's what I think I like, is the loose parameters.
Yeah, I feel
show.
Like that you sometimes feel that we should have more structure. I find you as a guy who always sort of beats yourself up over not having enough structure in life. And you're like, you know what, if we just had more.
You know what provides structure?
What's that?
A splint on the end of your finger.
I do have a splint.
It provides
only
a needed
right now,
structure and boundaries.
Those of you only watching right now.
For the horribly mangled.
The few people who have subscribed to our new YouTube channel are the ones seeing right now.
Well, they can imagine with the word picture that I'm painting.
They can't tell. Like, you have to go right now to YouTube and subscribe.
Yeah. Okay. Good idea.
But yes, I did.
See John's horribly malformed hand.
I have a volleyball injured finger.
Yeah.
And I would love to say it happened by playing, but it was absolutely sitting in the
stands. Why would you be playing?
In the stands, spectating. If
it'd be weird if you ran down there and be like, put me in.
I have told the coach before, like, in between, he's like, hey.
I know the place.
I got my little shorts. I brought them.
No
one will know.
They used to fit, but now not so much.
Put a wig on me. No one will know the difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the beard might give it away and the
it's
bald.
It's like when the skinny jeans thing was all happening. People were like, you should get some skinny jeans. I was like, any jeans can be skinny if you get fat enough. You know? Like, what I was wearing were basically sausage casings anyway when I was like 300 pounds.
Oh, Johnny.
So, allergies are bad, John.
Do you see how you
so
started
bad.
Last week? You can't just every week. You're like an old man.
I want to preemptively, just in case I sniffle, because I know the listening
that's why
experience.
You're doing this.
I want to set people up to be like.
See, Andrew's over the years has never been one. Like, if there's something wrong with our media that morning, I'm always like, do you want me to say something to the people? Like, hey, guys, we know there's a big, huge red block on the screen and we can't get rid of.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, don't acknowledge it. Just go.
Yeah.
And so you seem to be the kind of guy that acknowledges the big red block on the screen.
I think it's my nature. Maybe that's an Enneagram thing, John. Is that what you're going to
Johnny, this is just what a six would do.
Such an eight over here.
Self-prez.
Well, no, I was just thinking about yesterday because I don't – do you sneeze in the series or are you a one-sneeze guy?
I usually write my sneezes just as one-offs.
Yeah.
So
but it's
put
like,
them in the series.
Here's what I think happens is you've got some kind of debris. That's what causes a sneeze. You've breathed in some kind of pollen, pepper, debris.
Debreathed.
You debreathed it in.
There you go.
And then the sneeze either is enough force to, it's out, or you need a series to just, you know what I'm saying?
Dislodge
the
it.
The ninth one is the one that finally did it.
And that's when you came back to life. A little biblical reference there.
But I had a one-off yesterday. Normally I'm a series guy. I had a one-off yesterday. It was just like one of those, like just a horrifying. And my wife literally said, bless you? She asked.
Should such a thing be blessed?
It was like she wanted to say bless you, but she also kind of wanted to say the power of Christ compels you. Like, she needed to differentiate. She wasn't sure.
It was so you had a scream sneeze.
It was demonic is what it was.
I always have
it was
that.
An exorcism.
Listen, I can
pollen.
Become sick
yeah.
off of one bad sneeze.
Yeah.
Like, sneeze.
Because when it makes you cough, too.
Yeah.
Like, when it's a cough sneeze.
I'll be like, oh, no, I had one of those sneezes today. She's like, you did? I was like, yeah, like the one that breaks everything else loose.
Where you bark.
Like, inside, I think I'm really always sick, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I'm just always suppressing a sneeze.
Right.
And it's stopping it from becoming symptomatic. And guys, isn't that just like our lives?
Aren't we always all suppressing a sneeze?
I mean, we're just trying to stay
God's trying to give you a release.
You just try to be asymptomatic from the thing that's really messed up inside of you.
Uh-huh.
And the truth is you can't always suppress. Eventually, you're going to have one of those screams.
God's word provides clarity. And sometimes you need Claritin. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Some of y'all.
You're taking Claritin. You need Clarity. That's what it should have been.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Anyway.
We're just here to feed you.
So new.
You're just workshopping.
I'm just riffing over here. It's fine.
What did Seth used to say?
Does that got legs?
Yeah, has it
he
got
always,
legs? Yeah.
Which I think I taught him that term.
You did, yeah.
And then now he uses it against me.
Yeah, I think it's got legs, Johnny. It's got
legs. That's got legs, Johnny.
Yeah.
Okay, sure it does. Yeah. Tell it to walk away from me. Get it out of here.
I don't know.
Dude, so you had like a Planes, Trains, and Automobile type weekend of travel.
Yeah, it was one of those weekends where you look at it. I was almost ashamed to post the route. I was ashamed to post the routing because, you know, sometimes when you have a 3-day weekend, you go, here's where I'm going. And I'll post the little like Indiana Jones lines.
Right.
But it was so wonky. And it was like 48 hours of travel if you did it by car in 3 days.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not posting this because this looks like I'm a fool. Why would you take these shows? Because sometimes, like, I'm working with a social media team now, and they, I asked them some questions the other day, like, so should I be responding to every comment on my comments? Because I like some of them sometimes.
They were like, only a fool would do that.
Well, they said, listen, when you're starting out, you want to be way more personable. And then as you get to be a headliner, you want to be less accessible. You create a scarcity.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is so
weird.
See,
I started off creating a scarcity.
Yeah. I've got a scarcity of fans. No, but it's like this thing of like you pretend that there's a mystique. And when I respond to the two people, they go, oh, he responded. They feel more special. But if you just go every comment, you go, thanks for watching. Thanks for watching. Thanks for watching. Now it's not special.
They're like, he's not famous.
But all that said, when you post a thing that says, here's my tour dates, if they're routed a certain way, people subconsciously judge it a certain way. They go, oh, he's in Kansas City. Then he's going to Springfield, Missouri. Then he's going to Branson. Okay, that's a tour.
This guy knows his Google Maps.
Right. When I post tour dates, it's like, here's what my tour date was this weekend. Washington, D.C., Sierra Vista, Arizona, Provo, Utah.
Well, Arizona and Utah are in the same section of the country.
It was a direct flight from Tucson, so I flew to Phoenix.
Tucson, more like Threeson.
Yeah, it was more like take a Nissan and get out of here. But I flew from Washington, D.C. I flew from Washington, D.C. to Phoenix. But it was a five-hour flight. The reason being, I got an opportunity to open for Jen Fulweiler, who's great, and she's been so sweet to me. And she's got this great following she's built on her social channels, too. And she's been doing stand-up for a few years. And she's great, and she's so sweet. And so I was like, oh, I'll do it. And we had the date wrong. She told me May 21st, and then she looked at it again. And I go, hey, I'm not seeing you on the website for May 21st. I'd already said yes.
Yeah.
And I go, this is April 21st, Jen. She goes, oh, no. And I go, and by then I was like, she goes, I can find somebody. And I go, yeah, but I want to do it. I need the reps. I'm getting ready for my dry bar.
Yeah.
So I accepted the gig knowing it means go to D.C. the day before I go to Arizona, the day before I go do my dry bar taping on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I knew I was in for the weekend of all weekends of just like, and sure enough, I got 4 hours sleep each night. Yeah. And then I would get to the place that I was headed. Early in the day, and the hotels I was hoping would let me check in early. You try to get the early. Do you ever try to get the early check in and they won't do it? They just check in's at 4 o'clock.
We're gonna have to. We'll let you know when your room gets ready.
So basically, they're telling you you're paying for a room from 4 p.m. to 11 a.m.
Which you never stay till 11. You got to get up and go places.
Well, sometimes I want to late check out. But I'm saying like it's the idea of like you don't even get a full day out of these people.
No.
They go, here's our charge for a day. But it's not even a full day. Give me a break here. So here's how I get there early. Here's a tip for you and all you at home. Here's a travel tip from old Uncle Johnny.
Wow.
I love travel tips. Do you ever follow TikTok travel tip channel?
TikTok travel tip channels?
That's when I need my own travel hack. Here's one. When you get in the lobby and they go, oh, sorry, sir. They act like you've asked them for a kidney. It's ridiculous to ask them to check in at 10 a.m. You go, well, I had an early flight.
Right.
Hey, I have a reservation for tonight. Check-in's at 4. And you go, yeah, but I mean, I've been up since 1 a.m. At this point, I've been up since 1 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, their time. It was Eastern time. It was like 3 a.m. But I mean, I go, there's no way you can. They go. But anyway, here's what I do. I sit in the lobby, get in my jammies, and I start saying things like, you got toenail clippers? Things like that. A room suddenly opens
right.
up. I find. I like travel tips, though.
That's good.
Here's my favorite new one is you – let's say you get into the room.
Yeah.
You don't have your iron.
I usually carry one, but no.
But I'm saying you don't like – I'm not an iron guy. I'm like more of a steamer guy or throw it in the dryer guy.
Right.
Even with a dress shirt, throw it in the dryer with a wet washcloth, damp washcloth, boom. It's like just like iron. So I don't have anything that needs to be.
Oh, I've seen.
I have a disheveled persona. And that helps me when I need to look disheveled.
It's kind of like that company told you, like, you need to look disheveled to look famous. And
if
you're like, done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you hear my comedy, you go, I bet that guy doesn't shave every day.
Right.
You know, you're not thinking, like, he's got it together.
Yeah.
But anyway, so here's what you do. This is great. This is a tip for you. Let's say you don't have your iron, you don't have whatever. Your shirt's all wrinkled. You need it for that night. Hey, here's the great thing. Somebody told me this. You hang it in the bathroom. run the shower full blast while you're getting ready.
Yeah, steam.
The steam do its magic. And I go, oh, does it work? They go, no. But now your shirt is damp. How about that?
That's good.
So you've got a wrinkly shirt that is now wet.
Hey.
Hold on now. Who looks good for their great show? Who's a big fancy comedian?
Well, you want that wet, just got out of the shower look.
Yeah. Yeah, people do that with their hair. They slick it back and they go, hey.
I'm not sure that's a look.
It's like bed head.
Right.
Now I've got bed shirt. I look like I slept in my clothes. It's a homeless chic. That's what great. I've got going on.
That's great.
But anyway, so yeah, but the shows, here's the thing. When you book something like that, it's not just a matter of like, this is going to make me feel haggard. It's the thing of all that has to happen is one thing go wrong.
Right. That's why my wife couldn't
do
it.
To derail the
like,
whole thing.
If she won't do connecting fly if it's less than an hour.
Yeah.
Because the odds of something, and right now she's right.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm
bananas.
Real like, ah, it'll be fine. Like, I'm always a, even though I'm a forecaster of bad things, there are certain things I'll take chances on.
You should be
on.
A weatherman, you know. Since you're, I wonder how many forecaster Enneagram people become weathermen.
Wow, that'd be great.
Without even knowing why. They're like, I just like knowing the 10-day outlook of things. Oh, really? Have we got a job for you?
Yes.
Could you also announce this lady's 101 years old?
I will. I can. I was born for
Can
this.
You say 101 years young, though, to make it feel a little bit less liver spotty?
I saw.
Look at here, Marjorie in Wisconsin is 101 years young. You show her, and she's like the crypt keeper.
You're
like,
a day
look
over
at
99.
Her. She's adorable. Jeez. Stop showing me that photo.
I heard yesterday that the oldest person in the world died yesterday at 119.
Yeah.
Oldest known person in the world. Guinness.
Yeah. And I heard it was like right after giving an interview with like anti-aging tips or something.
No.
The header of the article said, shortly after an interview about aging tips. And I was just like, this is how it goes.
That.
The minute you become an expert.
Oh, there you go.
You fall over dead at 119.
You had to have some pride. You could have been 120. Yeah, and maybe we should be more sensitive to the death of a person.
No, it's
maybe
amazing.
Maybe their family's listening right now.
I can't even imagine 119.
119.
That's too long.
And she's still giving interviews.
Wouldn't you agree that's too long?
No.
Do you want to be 119?
It depends. Wait. Sorry. That was not a joke.
Let me give you some parameters. You have your mind.
Okay. As it is now, or does it get better?
No, it's
okay.
as
I have
as
to be
is.
In the mind I have right now.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's a down.
You are side. Stuck here forever, but there. Let me see. What
just
what
popping Prevagen like it's going out of style.
Yeah, you are unable to move freely.
Wow.
Through the world.
You're, I can't.
You have osteoporosis. You have.
I can't
issues.
Walk. Is what you're saying.
You're not. Yeah,
walking
you're not
has
spry.
To be a minimum.
Okay. So what would you take, though, if I said 119, what would you go, all right, I'll take this ding, I'll take...
Okay, I want my wife still alive with me with her mind. Can I don't
well,
get
women,
that.
Well, she's going to be alive because women outlive men anyway.
Okay. I want my wife still...
That's look, why it's never a man actually, that's the oldest. It's never a man that's the oldest. You ever notice this? It's never a man.
Yeah.
It's always a woman.
Yeah.
And there's accounts about this that make fun of it, that men take more chances. I think it says, like, why women live longer, you know, at why women live longer. And it's always like a guy, like, stacking two ladders leaned up against a house and doing, like, the stupidest stuff.
Right.
And so it's true. Like, and then there's the thing of men don't go to the doctor when they're sick.
Yeah.
Women will be like, I don't like your finger. Like, that would have been an ER visit for Laura, probably. Right?
No.
No?
Not on stuff like that. Well, again, she's a nurse.
Well, she's
though.
A nurse.
Yeah. She's like, nah.
She made the splint for you, probably. She's got
me,
materials in the house.
I said,
but I'm saying, like, if you have, like, I'm having a pain in my side, a guy's be like, this will go away.
See, Laura's been having a pain.
Oh, wow.
And she's
so
not,
Laura's more of a, she's more tough.
But she knows more than the doctor usually.
Yeah.
It depends on the doctor. But there's but because, often we're in a room where she knows
but
more than the
doctor. Because she, quote, overreacted, she caught her AVM.
Well, that's
because
true.
Of her.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if she had listened to the people in her
actually,
life, this is just a bad headache, Laura.
A roommate made her go.
Okay.
Yeah. I was the one going, oh, it's fine. And,
oh, right.
And,
you were.
Yeah,
right. You're like, listen, lean the one ladder against the other, Laura. You're going to be fine.
Are you on a ladder right now?
You're on the phone telling her.
No, I think you're right that it is just a statistic. That women live longer. I don't know if there's a reason. I like that idea that there's a reason for it. But
I think it's cumulative. I think there's more than one reason. Maybe.
If I could have, I'm not just saying this because I love my wife and I want to get credit. Like, this is the truth. Like, if my wife and I could still be watching Netflix at 115 and enjoying it and talking about watching there's a new Benjamin Franklin documentary by Ken Burns. If if Ken Burns is still alive at 115 and making documentaries, and we can watch them together.
I saw a piece of that Benjamin Franklin one too, and it's good.
It's good.
It's really good.
So the answer is, if I can have her and we can both, but I don't want her to be in a bunch of pain or me.
I don't know if you get to choose 119 with no pain. It feels like a bridge too far to ask for 119 no pain.
I'll have it less pain. You know what?
Just every time I breathe, I would expect to be in pain at 119.
Like, okay.
Air hurts my skin.
You know what?
At this point.
You know, I'm not a name it, claim it kind of guy, John.
Okay, sure.
Okay. But I do think that there's great
power and great responsibility.
I'm wording this. Like, guys, you don't know, when I pause like that, the filters of my Pentecostal upbringing
You're trying not to sound like a weirdo while also believing in God and
I believe, and also I am filtering out all kinds of things that wouldn't matter to most people even.
But I
know there's a multiplicity, multiplicity of listeners.
Yeah.
So I'll say this. When I hear the story of Caleb in the Bible, okay, who said at age 80, when he crossed, because he'd wandered for 40 years as one of three people who were faithful to God. And now he wandered for 40 years, all the people who are unfaithful. And now he's crossing, and he says this, Johnny. He says, I am 80, but God has given me the strength of a 40-year-old. Yeah. I feel like I'm 40. So like they all wore out and died.
Right.
Except Caleb and Joshua. He's 80 going, now give me the mountain, man. I'm ready to go. I feel like a 40-year-old. See, that's what I want to be like at 80. Like, no. So it happened. Why not with me, Johnny?
Yeah.
Just because I'm not an Israelite.
What are you now, 42?
Just because I'm 43.
43.
My wife convinced me I was 44 for like the last 6 months.
Huh. That sounds like somebody's being gaslit.
She's poisoning me. I don't know. Like,
I don't know how that would play into it. Hey, you're 44. Take this pill. What does that even mean?
I was like, what else is she lying to me about? No, but she thought this whole time that, and I won't say what age she is, but she thought this whole time she
was. Why is that such a big deal? Women want equal everything, but they don't want to take that on. I want to know how much you weigh, and I want to know what your age is.
I don't think.
That's what we have to put up with.
Do you know what?
I don't know what your weight is anyway. But we do talk about it.
Stevenson, who said that diplomacy is the art of remembering a woman's birthday but never her age.
I get it, but it's like that thing
that
of like
Eli Stevens,
if we're gonna say, hey, women, you're equal, feminism, all that, and I believe in all of it. Hey, pick up a check every now and again.
You know, okay? Every time you start,
why don't you pay for some dinner? Okay, how about that?
Do you know every time you start talking like this, which is a total joke, I'm glancing at the timestamps to know where I have to edit all this crap out.
No, you can't. No, people don't care. They know I'm full of it. It's fine.
Everybody, Johnny is actually very progressive.
Listen.
It's all a joke to just get you riled up and see how much editing he can cause me to do. Guys. Speaking of, I do have to apologize.
Oh, no.
And we're going to know who listened.
Apology accepted. It's not to me?
Now I'm going to call it out, though. Most people probably didn't notice. But if you listened all the way to the end of last week's episode, I happened to listen to last week's episode.
Yeah.
I was in the car for a drive, and I don't always do that, but I just thought last week's episode was really good.
I did too.
I thought it was just a really, really good episode. And what was it, 206?
I don't know. So many.
Something. And I realized I'd made a last minute edit on the front end, and because I had to realign some things. Boy, it won't that preach.
Sometimes we get out of alignment.
And you gotta, before you render.
God's going to cut out your mistakes and then realign you to his ways.
He's going
to,
I realized I did not select the outgoing music at the end to realign by like 3 seconds. Uh-huh. So normally it says, hey, you know, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on. And you say,
talk about that. Yeah.
And then right then it comes up into the solo of the guitar,
right, of
Dane's guitar, and plays out. And it's like this, Johnny. It's perfection.
Perfection. It is. There's nothing better than
every time. And so this time it goes, hey guys, thanks for, like it goes into the music top of me, and you go, talk about that real low. You don't hear any of it. And it's like, just, it was as if Dane just ripped a guitar solo while we were still talking, you know? It would be like on Jimmy Fallon, like the Roots are just like, nope. And they just start playing while he's in the middle of his bit.
Or being played off when you're like going too long on your Oscar speech or whatever. They go, give him the hook.
It was like the music.
He's talking about his politics. Get him out of here.
It was like the music swelled to get us off the, was a short episode. It wasn't long.
Yeah.
It was like 48 minutes or something. It wasn't crazy.
It's the right amount. It's just the right.
So anyway, I apologize. I made an editing mistake. I did correct it.
Yeah.
And republished it. But if it's already downloaded to your phone or your computer, like, you're not going to be able, it's not going to replace it.
Well, so. I will say this. I did our friend Allison Holland's podcast yesterday. And I think it'll be out when this comes out too. And you need to go check it out. Kennedy Dynasty is the name of her podcast. She's this huge Kennedy enthusiast and archivist. I don't know what you would call
researcher.
Her. She's like researcher, yeah. And she's it's fascinating, yeah. The stuff she knows. And so she told me about this project. So I go on there, but we talked about some things, and I had some ideas that I kind of took the conversation a little bit different way, maybe than she was even thinking about, or maybe a little bit deeper.
Shocker.
Which was cool. But then she goes, "Hey, get me clips for those things that we talked about." And then I said, "Oh," and then I went and got some more. I even was like, "Oh, this would be a clip too," because we referenced a couple things. And I go, she goes, "Well, I usually drop in a segment of that." And I was like, "Why aren't we doing that?" Like I talked about Yakov Smirnoff, the Soviet comic, because we talk about humor and satire of the president and the evolution of that.
Yeah.
And kind of now how it's so mean-spirited, but there was like a middle ground. There was like a salad days of time when you could make fun of both parties. And it was like, hey, here's a Democrat, and I think that he's probably, you know, he's my opponent, but I don't think he wants to bring the country down.
Right.
And so we can like playfully mock things. Now it's just like there's so much rage that it's hard to even get there. But anyway, we talked about Yakov Smirnoff, and we talked about some other things about how comedy – relieves tension, and it gives this weird – there's this looming Cold War, but here was this silly clown, in essence, from Russia who was this fish-out-of-water comic. And so then we'll drop in a Yakov clip. So I gave her, like, the YouTube video of his Tonight Show appearance, his first Tonight Show appearance in the early 80s. So she's like, this is perfect. And then I found, like, Bush appearing behind Dana Carvey, or he was on, like, a split screen with Dana Carvey, like, talking about, I don't like the way I'm being portrayed, you know, not gonna do it. And he did the lines that Carvey did. It was such a funny thing, and it showed, like, his humanness. And so she just drops the clip, and I go, why aren't we doing that? And you said, because we're lazy. I go, man, Allison's like, maybe this is why her podcast is more successful than ours.
Here's the hard part about this. Number one, we're doing it again. Like, half of your commentary in our podcast is about what we should be doing differently on our podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, it's just, we're like critiquing, we're telling the listeners why they shouldn't like this.
What Enneagram is that?
So, number two.
Can I talk you guys into listening to something else right now? No,
guys, seriously, what are you still doing at 22 minutes with us? And then number two.
Yeah.
It's this grand we.
Yeah.
When you say, why are we not doing that?
Right.
Why can't we say, because we're doing a lot. I would love for you to go find clips.
I think it's because you think you're over there with all the lights and the board and all that you think you're whatever. Like, I can't do that. I could do that.
Well, yeah,
I've got the same board at my house.
Yeah, but when I just said that whole thing about making the editing mistake, when do you ever get to say that?
I make editing mistakes all the time.
Well, yeah, but not on our podcast.
No.
Look, don't bring your career into this. I would love it. If you see a spot, I can drop it. No, you just got
to
go.
Maybe people don't want it. Maybe we get sued. Maybe Allison's getting ready to get sued. We'd start dropping clips in there like,
maybe we're about to sue Allison.
Yeah.
God, that would be a twist, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great?
Like a class action?
What if, like, as we – because she's going to be probably our next guest on the podcast.
If you've been damaged by Allison Holland, call this 800 number. And we all just get a big...
We start making these commercials and stuff.
You may be entitled to a settlement.
Allison Holland's podcast.
That was one of my favorite things when the masks first were really prevalent. And one of my favorite tweets ever was, it says, if you've ever worn a mask with glasses, you might be entitled to condensation. That's what it said. It's hard to even say.
That's
You may be entitled to condensation.
That sounds like
it's true. Whenever I wear my driving glasses and then I'd be like, oh, my mask is still on, it would just be like, whew, it's just like you're gone. You're just in a fog of
– yeah.
Where, I don't know how people dealt with it.
I think, by the way, I have to get glasses.
Really? It's happening.
Well
– I need mine redone because now I'm walking through airports without them and I can't see where my gate is until I get right up on it.
See, my long vision is great. Okay, here we go. We're going to look in this office right now.
Yeah. See if you can spot some things.
Wow, it's dark over there.
Well, there's nothing to read anyway over there.
Well, there's books all over the shelf.
Yeah, but it just looks like a stack of books. You can't – do you think you could –
You can't read anything on those books over there?
Oh, no.
All right.
I mean, I think a couple of those are Bibles.
All right, what about the bottom shelf to
I'm
the
picking
far
up a
left,
holy Bible.
Look at the blue book about four over in the bottom shelf.
Okay, got it.
What does that big word say?
No idea.
The promise.
Okay. No, I can't make it out.
Hold on.
You can read that? And you think you need glasses?
The promise study Bible.
But you're farsighted, not nearsighted. Is that what you're saying?
I guess. And then what about second to the right? Can you see second from the right? That
And then there's astigmatism, too.
That red book is Pastor, Church, and Law.
No, nothing.
And then that
Literally,
is the Life Application Study Bible. Okay. So I can read that.
I just see colors and blobs.
Wow. Well, see.
I shouldn't be driving.
No.
Well, I wear them when I drive sometimes. Not usually. I won't say usually because that's a lie. When I remember... I wear my glasses when driving.
Where I notice it now is when Sadie wants to show me a video, and she walks up. She's like, "Look, Dad," and it feels like she's touching my nose with the phone. It's just immediately I find myself going, oh, and like I pull it back and hold it here.
Huh.
So I think it's a nearsighted thing. I'm like, okay, that's too much. Like my sensory overload with it. I'm like, whoa.
Did I ever tell you about my invention of a television that is a prescription television so that you don't have to wear your glasses in your home?
Oh, wow.
It adjusts to your sight problems.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what it's called?
Hold on. No.
Astigmavision.
That's great.
Right?
Have you used this?
No.
Why would you not use it?
It needs to happen. But here's the problem. What if you don't live alone? Now your partner has to just watch blurry nonsense. You know?
Yeah.
They have to have the exact same prescription as you.
Oh, I thought you were about to give a tag.
That's when you need a bifocal television. You look at the bottom, we're good. It's a split screen.
Split screen bifocal television. I was waiting on a tag.
Yeah, I'm
sorry. Another wordplay tag. That's why I wasn't saying, "What's your tag?" Like I was just waiting.
Oh, sorry. My jokes aren't normally that corny. Is that what you were? Something stupid like that? That's stupid, John. Grow up.
Cornea.
Grow up.
That's exactly what I would have. See, if I was a comedian, yeah. I would find such joy in what you just did to tag it.
Yeah.
And you just are dismissive of your own wittiness because it fell into what? Wordplay?
Yeah.
And wordplays and puns are the lowest form of comedy.
Well, I think wordplay is different than a pun, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wordplays and puns.
Right.
Puns are the bottom.
Right.
Wordplay's right above.
To me, wordplay is like... Here's an example of a wordplay that's super smart. My buddy Tyler Green, not a buddy, but I know him. He wrote a joke that said, whenever I see someone getting around the equator, I'm like, you're getting warmer.
Okay.
That's funny. That's like, it's like a play on words a little bit. And then there's a way to do, I don't know, there's a way to, when it's just like orange, you glad I didn't say banana, like a kid could have written it. Or it's like a Laffy Taffy joke or a dad joke. That's like a, it still makes me smile.
Where does dad joke fit between puns and wordplay?
I think that's the problem is, because like I've been doing one-liners for my whole career in a section of my show. And like around 5 years ago, the comments started getting
dad jokey.
Yeah. They say, "Well, this is 5 minutes of dad jokes." I go, "No, these are crafted jokes just because you've decided that these are they're not dad jokes." But they can think what they want. That's why comedy's great. It's subjective. That's okay. But I'm just saying, like, I consider a dad joke like, "Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?" Yeah.
See, I wonder if the dad joke has to do with who's telling it. Because we still haven't tested my theory. I gave you a joke.
Well, the idea of a dad joke is a kid thinks her dad's the funniest person in the world.
Oh, well, that's not at all how dad jokes work.
And so...
No.
No?
A dad joke means your kid rolled their eyes at you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the difference between having a kid that's five and a kid who's a teenager.
Right.
So...
Like, well, when you tell a dad joke when your kid's five, well, they would
always,
laugh, right?
It's not always just dad jokes. Like, Sadie
but the kids
and I,
get jokes when they're five.
Yeah, sometimes. Sadie and I listen to
this
Michael.
This is me not having kids.
We listen
really
to Michael Jackson right now on the way to school.
Yeah.
And so when we get into Man in the Mirror, I always start doing like hiccups in the very beginning because it sounds like he's hiccuping, you know?
Yeah.
And so she'll kind of look over at me in a, I want to laugh at this. Also, I want to kind of roll my eyes.
But you're kind of trying to embarrass her a little bit too with your being like –
Yeah, when
silly.
It comes in, that cheesy 80s music.
Right.
And I start in and she's like, she looks at me. Yeah. But she wants me to do it.
You're
I think.
Sadie Chamon. Don't be this way.
It's a, but you still haven't tested the theory of I gave you a joke before. Uh-huh. And you was like, I'm going to do it tonight. I'm just doing an open mic.
That's your
mic.
Impression of me? That's just,
I was like, dude, why are you so Southern all of a sudden?
This is a questionable impression
like, are you
of me.
From, what is the deal? And then you were like, I don't mind doing it because my theory is. People think of you as funny.
Uh-huh.
So you could throw any kind of joke in there.
Yeah.
As long as it's not just utterly stupid. I don't know what the joke was. It wasn't like Hatchback of Notre Dame or something. Which I did tell
you. Aren't you glad I didn't say Hatchback of Notre Dame?
Guys, the Hatchback of Notre Dame, I stand by it.
Boy.
Humorist. Yeah. What was the joke you were going to
tell? I don't remember.
Because you chuckled at it a little bit, which is a big deal. Like, it was a, okay. But it was like, it was not like, oh, that's not funny.
Hmm.
But could it fit in what I'm doing so we could experiment? And then you just didn't do it and never brought it up again. Because you chose your career and security over my little test.
Yeah.
Because I don't really care.
No. It'll be fine, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would do it. I listen, I got some shows coming up. I'll try them out. What do I care?
Have you ever got caught? Don't tell me that. You're not going to do it. Have you ever got, it's like saying you're going to go grab me clips to drop it.
Hey, let's do lunch.
Have you ever got caught saying something on stage when you're ad-libbing?
Yeah.
That you realize halfway through you probably shouldn't say, so then you adjust it to something less funny to get out of it. I did this the other day.
Yeah.
So we have a new staff member.
And now you're going to say the thing that you shouldn't have said?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, all right, good.
We talked about it afterwards. So Jake and Abby. Jake's our new student director.
It sounds like a sitcom.
Like, hey, guys. Tonight on Jake and Abby.
Or it's like a buddy cop.
Yeah. You
know? He gets saddled with a female partner. He's a misogynist. Let's see how this goes. This fall on Fox, Jake and Abby. Whatever.
That's great.
Like he's out of line. He's in being disciplined. And so they go, here's your new... And then she's a better cop than him.
He's talking to her like you talked earlier on the podcast.
Yeah.
Ugh, what a jerk. So he's over there, and I don't know. I don't do this a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even do, like, hey, the most I do now is good morning. I don't do, like, the, hey, guys, we're so glad you're here.
Oh, you mean when you're doing
and
a sermon?
There's a lot of, you know, aren't you glad it's warmer outside? Boy, what a great week we had last week at Easter.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, I just want to thank you guys. I just, nope.
We just go straight into it was I'm the fall like, of 1917.
I do, yeah. I'm like, hey, good morning. If it's a new series, I'm like, hey, it's good morning. We're doing a new series right now called The Lies We Believe. And I just want to talk to you about a time in my life when, and now I'm in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's good.
Okay. So
comics have that too, by the way. Like a comic that comes out and says, how we doing tonight? That might work if you're the first comic.
Yeah.
If you're the fifth comic, you've wasted 20 seconds
of your 3 minutes or 5 minutes
to get like
minutes
a cheap applause.
Yeah.
You guys doing all right out there? Just go. They're doing fine.
Yeah.
Tell your jokes.
Yeah.
But every comic, it's like, it's almost like a comfort device for yourself. It's not even about the audience.
Yeah. You just want to get a reaction so that you don't feel like it.
Right.
It's like seeing the ball go through the hoop.
Yeah.
I want a free throw. I'm going to make this layup and mm-hmm. now I'm going to start shooting from downtown.
Right.
I don't know if that's how comics think or not.
Yeah.
That's
an apt metaphor.
Nice. And so Jake's there and his parents are there.
Okay.
Okay. And he's been on staff about
their
3 weeks.
Their first time attending?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're coming to visit their son. They live in Hendersonville. And I get up to say, man, we're just so glad, like, Jake and Abby, they led worship that morning. So I had a reason, like, hey, wasn't it great having Jake and Abby? They're officially here now because they've been transitioning for a while. And I don't know why, but Jake and Abby and I and the whole staff, like, we're actually super close already.
Yeah.
It's a lot of joking. They're very funny people.
Oh, they're great folks. Yeah.
And so they can take the jokes, you know. And so I'm just like, what I'm going to say is something like, hey, we're so glad to have him here. And I was going to say, I just hope he doesn't screw it up. Which is exactly what we'd
say. It's a shame we already have to fire him.
Like, it would have been something like that. And I realize I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
And it's a small thing. It's just going to be a little nothingness.
Right.
And I was just like, I think it might have, no, it wasn't Easter. But I was like, oh, no, I got a bunch of people in the room. Don't know Jake. His parents are here. Don't do it. So I'm halfway through. And I was like, you know what, Jake? And I readjust. I goes, we're so excited you're here. And I said, as long as I don't screw this up.
Oh,
so I turned it on me.
About you.
And it was like crickets in the room because it wasn't funny at all.
Yeah.
It was kind of a little
soft. How would you screw up?
It's like, it just looks like John's talking through his recovery again up here. And it was like,
I just hope I don't screw this up for him. I damage everyone I come in contact with.
Is this microphone on?
Everything I touch breaks. And Jake, I just don't want you to be caught up in the wake of my destructive forces. Anyway, turn in your Bibles.
It was really weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
They all just kind of looked at me. So afterwards,
it could have gone worse, though.
Yeah.
Because you could have done a Don't Be Afraid, My Baby Boy. Which, have we told that story?
Guys, one time when we were in a band, we were playing a college retreat Thanksgiving dinner. I remember what it was.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were the band, and we had a bunch of fans because we were the band that played every week for worship. We were doing originals that night.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember what the – we had been in the studio.
Yeah.
So we were kind of haggard. We came out to do the thing, and we used to have this song called
"Search No More."
Search No More.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I'm going to have to embarrass someone else to make myself be okay with being embarrassed.
Sure.
This reminds me of, and we told the story before, the time that I was managing Skyhook, the band.
Uh-huh.
And we went in to meet this record executive at EMI. Like, it was a big deal, big meeting. I've been like coaching the guys on what to say and not to say. Like, here's how we look professionals, what we do.
Yeah.
And we walked in, and Dane, who's the front man for the band, the songwriter, he's the talent man, you know, and they're all excited Dane's going to kind of, you know, represent the band. And the guy reached out his hand and said, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Brad." Uh-huh. And Dane says, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Brad."
He didn't say, "I'm Brad."
He said,
"I'm Brad."
He goes, "Hey, I'm Brad." He goes, "I'm Brad." And he goes, "Your name's Brad too?" And Dane goes, No, my name's Dane. And to this day, if Dane's listening to this right now, I'll know. Because he can still turn red. It's one of those moments, like you said last week, you can go back to the lunchroom.
Yeah.
He just said the wrong name.
I think of moments like that in my life. I've had dozens of them. And if I'm like ever like quiet, like usually it's in the shower where there's no devices.
You're reliving it and you say it out loud.
I shout. I go, "Oh!" I have an audible reaction to it.
You still groan.
Yeah. I go, "Oh, what in the world?"
Yeah, that was me with a high profile author able to say colloquialism.
So the line in the song was,
"The line,
quietly he spoke to me.
Is that what
Son,
it was?
It's through my grace." And what you said was, after forgetting the line,
Don't be afraid,
my baby boy. And I looked at you like, I'm glad it wasn't a harmony line because I would have sang.
Be Afraid is a horrible song, by the way, already. Yeah. It was not a good song. Let's not even talk about the song.
Maybe Baby Boy would have made it.
But Don't Be Afraid, My Baby Boy.
How did you get into Baby?
Somehow made it worse.
Like, if you were in therapy then, that would have been like a goal. That would have been like a whole appointment of why is the line, quietly he spoke to me, and you said, Don't be afraid, my baby boy.
Like, maybe that's what I really want to
hear. Clear my schedule! We got to dig into this. This guy, we need a team. We don't just need me. Right. I need.
Go pick out my Freud textbooks off the shelf.
It's like if you ever go to the doctor.
1 through 20.
Like if you ever go to the doctor and there's like a mole and he goes, huh.
Right.
And then he brings someone else in. That's one of those moments in therapy.
Yeah.
To look at him. Well, I've never seen
this. Oh, we're a teaching hospital. Hold on. And they bring in like a whole group of students, you know. Like, look at this. Yeah. And they all start putting on hazmat suits. Mm-hmm. That's how it felt emotionally.
Yeah, an emotional hazmat.
Yeah. I was like, and you looked at me, and when we got done, I was like, I don't know. Dane Forever, I think Baby Boy in a microphone is worse than Hi, I'm Brad.
Here's another one that you did, though, that I always remember is you were singing one where you sang the whole song. And you got to this one high note, and I was just playing, and you were just holding the mic, which was weird for you, too. I don't think you were even playing guitar.
I must have been at a keyboard or something.
And then, because you're walking back, and I remember you hit a high note, cracked on the high note, and knocked over your water bottle at the same moment. So it was like a double whammy of, like, you may as well have peed your pants then. You know, just, I've soiled myself.
Yeah. Well, that was almost as bad. That might be. It was almost as bad as our big, oh my gosh, when we had the double height stage.
Yeah.
And we had a big opening for a record label.
It was a showcase for two labels, yeah.
Our big number had like this quiet intro.
Uh-huh.
I played a pad, which if you're not a musician, a pad's like that.
Just underneath, yeah, atmospheric.
So I would play the pad, put the sustain pedal with my keyboard, uh-huh. Have my guitar draped around, and then we had like this click off, one, two, and I was going to jump with the other guitar player, or the bass player, I can't remember who it was, off, because maybe in Greg with the other guitar that night.
Yeah, it was.
And we were going to jump off that stage to the bottom stage and hit it perfect on.
It definitely wasn't me. You weren't like, "Johnny, we'll jump together." I'd be like, no. I will break my ankle.
Well, you were dead center.
Yeah.
You had the big spotlight on
where I belong.
And, yeah, we're all backing you up at this point. So, and it was good. It was good. It's what we should have done the whole time. And so if we'd had real community back then, you'd have looked at me after the first show and went, "I need to be the lead singer." And I would have been like, yes. Like,
no, come on.
If I could have gone back and listened to myself. Anyway. And so.
John, don't be afraid, my baby boy. Everything's going to be fine.
And so, well, number one, I hit the pad and you couldn't hear it for some reason.
Yeah.
And I remember just watching your face pour sweat.
Oh, yeah. Well, I sweat a lot back then, too.
But it was like sweat, and you couldn't hear the note, and you were like, and you kept kind of, we didn't have in-ears, did we?
No.
So you're like, you're trying to get it. You're like sticking a thing in your ear. You can't hear the note.
Yeah.
It was like just a worship little course. You could not hear the note.
Right.
And you were like, almost choking a little bit, like trying to, and it was like, okay, what is happening? We practiced this like 18 times. Something's wrong with the sound system. So it's okay. We just get into this song. It'll be okay, because the song's going to rock, because it's our best song, you know? He clicks off. Everything's fine. I go to leap with the guitar. from the second stage. The guitar cable hangs on the keyboard stand.
Right.
And it literally looks like a Marlin in midair. Like I jump and it like pulls me back.
Yeah.
And the whole keyboard with a processing unit on top, basically like a laptop, starts to topple over. And I turn around, stop playing guitar, grab the keyboard, push it up, turn around. Long story short, we did not get the record deal.
We, wait a minute, what?
I know.
I thought we...
You mean we're not on tour right now?
You think that really would have
made a difference? The truth
is,
the record label didn't even show.
No, they didn't.
And they were across the street.
Yeah, they were. It was in Franklin, and they were across the street. That's when people go, I can't even get these people to cross the street to come see me. We literally, that literally happened to us.
Oh, my God.
They're like, we got stuff to do.
Yeah, so we can't come watch this.
I got to pick up dry cleaning. That's okay.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so it's actually good. There was one label there that night, but they were there to see us. They were there to see some hip-hop group that was also there. Word Records. Don't you remember that?
So we had a chance to impress Word Records.
Yeah.
We didn't.
No.
But hey.
But hey, look at us now.
That doesn't help. I do. I
you're right, though, man. And I think about that now, too, because when I started doing comedy, I sweat so much less, and I don't know what to attribute it to. Now I don't sweat at all, that I've lost the weight. So some of it had to be just being out of shape. But some of it, I think, yeah, it was nerves, and there's like an unsettled vibe that happened in my spirit when I would get on stage. I was like imposter syndrome is what you call it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you just go, I don't belong up here. They're going to see me. Like you feel so exposed.
Yeah.
And so you just start to sweat. And then you go, here's the thing that happens to you. You go, I'm sweating. I got to stop sweating.
And you sweat more?
That's what just, it's the ball is rolling, man. If you notice that the one bead comes down, you're like, oh, no, not now. Not now. Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Dane was talking about yesterday at staff table. They were talking if he starts blushing or someone else had the same experience. Or like once it starts, someone goes, hey, is your face turning red? Now your face turns.
Right.
Doubly red. I used to have that problem with, so when I was young, if I got shots, I would have what's called.
If I got shot. I used to have that thing. I would get turned red when I got shot. Then they were like, John, that's blood.
That's...
We need to get you to the hospital. No. This will go
fine.
Away.
It's fine.
I just need to calm down.
Just don't talk about it. Yeah, it's fine. My issue was if you were going to give me an injection.
Yeah.
Then I would have what's called a vagal reflex, which is your vagal nerve.
Okay.
And that's when you feel like you're going to pass out, turn white. So your vagal nerve can be triggered. So it's not just, And here's the thing. I was so used to working outside, cutting myself on lawnmower parts.
Just for fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was what we did. It's what we did. Hey, guys.
And, hand me that rusty blade.
Like, I'm not saying this like in some, like I was some macho man. I grew up kind of, you know, we were the guys working just grease all the time on us, repairing, you know, working outside, you know.
Right.
You know, finding
rub some dirt on it, get out of here.
Snakes. I mean, like, you know, like we weren't,
right.
You know, so
giving each other injections, maybe.
Whatever. I wasn't the guy, hey, come over here. I wasn't the guy who was afraid of blood in that respect. And I wasn't afraid at all. I remember it just was so hard, but it would always happen. Like, I'd want to pass
out. You'd feel
faint,
yeah.
Yeah.
And, did you ever pass out for real?
No, but I'd have to sit down.
Brace yourself.
Or I'd have to, or I'd almost throw up. Like, I'd gag.
Yeah.
And get this super flushed feeling. It was very shameful.
Yeah.
It was like, what is the deal? So I was like 16.
What is this guy, afraid of needles?
Yeah.
And they go, you're fine. And they give you a lollipop. That's nice.
Oh, yeah.
A little balloon, maybe.
Well, you know, when it went away, so my dad, Laura had her brain aneurysm.
Yeah.
She'd been through 3 brain surgeries.
Yeah.
You may remember this. And we were at camp playing.
She's like, meanwhile, you can't take a shot.
Well,
come on, dude.
I had the shame.
And you want to be married to me?
I had the shame getting, no, she never said that, but
okay,
my shame was growing.
Okay.
Because, like, oh my gosh, now she's been through all this and I still can't take a shot.
Yeah.
I'm like 18, 19 years old. I guess 19. Like, this is dumb. I'm not even afraid of it. I just can't stop it. Like, it's one of those things, like your sweat bead. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how conscious I am of it. It's just like, you know. And so I started going blind. Remember this?
Maybe.
We were on.
I remember you seeing spots and stuff after we ran a race.
A few times.
Together.
A few times, probably about 4 to 6 weeks after her surgeries and she was okay, I started losing, like, it was like a black curtain came in on
That's
one
right.
side.
I remember this.
And I would lose sight for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't, like, I would lose peripheral vision.
Uh-huh.
It was weird, you know. So we were playing, and for some reason I was playing bass. which that had to be awesome. I was playing bass at camp.
Uh-huh.
And I remember we were at the like long sort of altar service, and all of a sudden both sides, right and left, came in like someone had pulled a black curtain and not closed it all the way.
Yeah.
And I remember looking, and there was a keyboard player, and if I looked forward, I couldn't see her anymore.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm going blind. So I'm going through, of course, this is this, you know, talk about the forecasting. Now I'm like 15 years down the road blind. Like I'm thinking through my life, the accommodate, like it's just fear upon fear. And so we go to the doctor and he schedules an MRI or maybe it was a CT with contrast, which means they're going to have to inject
the stuff that they can see you on the scan.
Right. Yeah. And here we go. So I'm like, oh my God.
That stuff's weird too. It feels like cold. You can feel it like chasing through your body.
And so we went in there and my dad went with me and I'll never forget it. I said, Dad, and you know, I'm a grown man.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, I'm going to throw up or pass out and there's not a thing I can do about it.
Right.
And I hate it. I'm just so like, I'm not scared of this. I mean, I'm more scared of going blind. I'm not scared of this little needle. Yeah. It doesn't bother me, but there's something there. There's a block. And my dad sat there with me.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to look weird, but I think I'd been through so much at that point. It was like, whatever.
Right.
You know? And he held my hands.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me in the eye and he kind of just prayed and just talked to me.
Yeah.
While they did it. And it was just real gentle, not like, oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. It wasn't like that. It was just like a...
He was just there.
He was just there. He was just praying. He looked, hey, look at me. And he just kind of prayed, hey, you know, and he just was praying, you know, real quietly.
I think I unlocked it.
And
I think I know why you said, don't be afraid, my baby boy.
Oh, my goodness. And he goes, maybe that's what he said. He didn't say that.
Wouldn't that be amazing? We just had a breakthrough. I'm like, you'll be paying me for your therapy from now on. Yeah. You don't need your guy anymore. I'm your guy.
I don't need.
It's like in Good Will Hunting when he grabs him and goes, it's not your fault. I know. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And finally he breaks down. Yeah. That's what we just did.
Or like the little Geico, he goes, you deserve to save.
Yeah,
I know. No, you deserve it.
I deserve to save.
So, and after that, I never got saved.
But that's huge, because like, there's a vulnerability there.
But it broke it.
But it broke it through.
Now, like when I go in, if I'm sick, I'm like, please, how many shots can you give me?
Yeah.
Like I'm like, because I feel better with shots. So, because it gets to me faster.
Boom, quicker.
And they're like, you're a drug addict. And I'm like,
You're like, we don't.
I don't.
You're like, sir, this is a Wendy's. We don't do shots.
We're not going to do that.
Do you want the Frosty or not? You're like, put it in my veins.
So we were in the cafe Sunday morning, and they were like, hey, did you put three shots in that coffee? And I turned to my friend. I was like, hey, it's the only church in America where we ask for extra shots. It was a drinking reference. It was coffee.
Yeah.
Espresso, to be honest. Do you have friends that say espresso instead of espresso?
I do.
Do you know who they are? Can you call them out right now?
I don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it?
Yeah.
Is that like a judgy? I feel like.
I like to say espresso just to irritate people.
Right.
You drink that espresso? Because I don't drink coffee.
Do you go into that southern accent when you say it? You drink that?
You right there, espresso.
You got that espresso? You got what kind of cup you put it in?
It's a little tiny.
You got that espresso with your
cup. That little demitasse? What is that? It's gone. That's not enough to.
You call this a cup of Joe?
Yeah.
You know cup of Joe is where you draw the line. If you call it a cup of Joe, you're not ordering.
Cup of Joe is like, I think, a generational thing. Like, I don't think anybody our age would even say cup of Joe.
Well, I don't know.
Like, about a nice you don't drink, cup of Joe.
You don't drink coffee, though.
I wonder where Cup of Joe came from.
Boy, there's no way to know. But if you wanted to, if you wanted to take your own medicine, you would go find a clip where someone talks about a cup of Joe, and this is where I'd drop it in.
Well, it'd just be like a little wiki reference, maybe.
You would find it.
Okay,
Allison would find it.
Allison's looking right now, and preparing for her lawsuit against us.
Well, she needs to because we're formidable.
We're coming at you, Bart Durham. Is on our side.
I know a lot about the law. I've watched a lot of Law and Order. So that's not true. I don't like Law and Order. You watch Law and Order.
John Mulaney, great stand-up. He has a bit about – he loves Law and Order, and he talks about the different kinds of Law and Order and the things he likes. And one of the things he says that's so funny, he goes, my favorite character on Law and Order is the judge who allows everything.
Yeah.
And he goes, watch. He goes, I'll allow it. But watch yourself, McCoy. there's always a judge that says something like that.
Yep.
I'll allow it, but mind your steps. Okay, but she still allowed it.
Right. It's never not allowed it. Yeah.
And then the New York bartender who remembers every face. That's another one that he says.
Yeah.
Came in 6:30, 6:32, was here till about 6:48. nice face, had blonde hair, was parted in the middle. Like, come on.
Like, really, man?
Exactly.
<You know? laughs> I went to school with people, sat by them every day, and couldn't describe them like
that. The
other
one was like someone who's being asked to go downtown to answer questions while loading a truck and keeps loading the truck calmly.
Right.
While they're a suspect in a murder.
Right.
You know, were you here? Yeah, I was here. And they just keep loading while cops like approach them and question them.
It makes
them.
You look more suspicious.
It does, a little bit.
Yeah. Got,
I think you're like, I got to load this. Listen, whether I murdered someone or not, this truck has got to get to Topeka, you know.
Do you even know, by the way, what racketeering is? Could you really describe it?
Okay, here's what I think it is. I hear it a lot when you talk about conspiracy cases involving like organized crime, like a RICO case, which is when the federal government tries to get someone to turn state's evidence, like someone like what happened in Goodfellas,
okay.
Where they turn state's evidence and they Sammy the Bull Gravano turned state's evidence and brought down, you know.
So it's like a ring.
It's like a ring of illegal behavior.
Right.
Yeah. And it's hard to prove because you have to prove that each individual person knew for it to be racketeering, I believe.
Right.
I think it's almost like a conspiracy charge. But I don't know why there's a separate thing for conspiracy and racketeering. Maybe conspiracy can be a broader thing that I don't know in legal terms. But I'm saying I think racketeering, I only hear about racketeering when you're talking about like political crime or organized crime. It's
but like if you open up like a series of tennis courts.
Yeah.
Could you name it racketeering?
Maybe.
I mean, that would be
sure, why not? We feel like that would give your tennis club a negative connotation, though, wouldn't you think?
I don't know.
I'm heading on down to racketeering.
I hear these things like, and I go,
yeah.
That feels like a made-up charge. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, couldn't we all sort of be accused of racketeering in some way? I mean, aren't we? What if you patronaged. What if you were
patronized?
A patron? Thank you, patronized. Wow.
Are you patronizing me right now?
What if you
John
patronized?
C.
Oh, see, John, the
means.
Word is patronize. If you go in, though,
yeah.
And you're participating,
sure.
Are you a part of racketeering?
Is this podcast technically a conspiracy?
Could
because
be.
We got together with a common goal.
Right.
We're trying to raise money because there's like a Patreon element to it.
We're advancing a narrative.
Right.
I mean, I don't know
our
what
own
it
opinions.
Is.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah,
we don't even know when we start.
The narrative's changing every week. So,
but that's how we get you because they're like, "What are
the
you can't nail us down." It's like trying to nail somebody on a RICO
right.
charge. You're like, we can't get.
And episode 250 is where we ask you to get on board of the spaceship with us.
Yeah.
And,
bro,
what if this whole time this is all an elaborate?
Would you
ploy?
Go like if you had the money? Obviously, you'd spend the money on other things. Like Elon Musk just. It's trying to buy Twitter, and it looks
he
like
bought
it's
Twitter.
It's gonna
over.
Happen. Well, it's been approved, but it hasn't happened. The sale hasn't gone through. But it's 40-something
that's not
billion.
What you told me.
And I think they said for 21 billion, you could solve world hunger or something like that. So, like, obviously, you wouldn't spend the money on something
yeah.
frivolous like that if you had the money. But if you did have the money and you wanted to spend it on something frivolous, would you get a seat to go to space? Like, would you be one of those people that's like, I want to see what space is like? Because now they're letting civilians go into space, is what I guess I'm getting at. You don't have to be
like just in space or to a destination in space?
Maybe you go to the space station, you walk around up there, you look around.
I want to walk around the moon if I want to do something.
I don't think that's allowed. I don't think we're doing that. Has a civilian?
Well, then you
civilians
have my,
haven't gone to the moon,
then
have
you,
we?
You have my answer.
We're asking a lot of questions that have easily verifiable answers.
No,
but,
there's no way to know.
But I don't think civilians have gone to the moon, or we would know
no,
about
that.
No,
I don't think they have either, yet.
You want to be the first one.
I want to be the first civilian on the moon. I want zero training.
What do you think it's worth?
Like, you should do...
Half mil?
I don't know. But we should. This should be like, okay, this is a...
Sell your house,
reality television show.
Yeah.
You don't train the civilian.
Yeah.
He just goes.
You don't put him in like the vomit comet or
exactly.
whatever the thing is.
See
the
if he survives. It's just like Naked and Afraid or whatever. Like, the issue is, can he survive on the space shuttle
yeah.
a trip to the moon?
That's not...
He has to
I
be,
don't know if that's safe.
He's not safe.
Like,
they,
naked and afraid, what's the worst thing? You get a bug bite. Like, this is like naked and my spleen ruptured.
People could die on naked
why,
and afraid.
I don't
afraid.
Know why they're naked in my other scenario. Why are you naked in space?
What if they have to go naked to space?
Huh?
What would you name that one?
Naked and in space.
Naked in a space. That's what I say. Is that a dad joke?
Sure, maybe.
But you laughed.
Either way, there's a moon. Hey, oh, come on, John.
It's a tag, guys.
That's okay.
You
That's
gotta.
Fine. I'm
wow.
sorry. I apologize, you guys.
Yeah. And, guys, do you know what? We gained some patrons this week.
Maybe the friends we gained along the way were the real journey to space.
Oh, my goodness. The naked people around us already.
the people who gather around us and say, don't be afraid, my baby boy. It means a lot.
Don't be naked and afraid, my baby
don't
boy.
Don't be naked and afraid, my baby boy. Son, it's through my space. You got to get in.
Oh, wow.
Get in space with me. Get in this shuttle.
Say,
let's go.
In those early songwriting days, lots of words rhyme with grace.
It does help.
It helps a lot if you want to just rhyme a lot.
Yeah. But secular songwriters do that, too. There's words that they use over and over again.
Oh,
that have...
listen, I'm sorry. I don't mean to take down a genre or anything, and there's some good writers in country, but when we go to Longhorn to eat...
Uh-huh. Which is every week.
I hear a lot of songs that, I go... And I don't mean this. I'm not going to say that I'm more talented than that song, but I will say this. Johnny's more talented than the song I'm hearing. Like, he could have written something better than this, and this guy bought a ticket to space with his royalties.
Yeah,
you know?
He did.
And
bought a ticket to space sounds like a country song.
Let's do it.
Like, girl, when I'm with you, you make me feel like I just bought a ticket to space.
Come on, man.
Huh?
Are you not... I'm not going to go anywhere else where I was going to go with that.
Elon Musk sounds like the worst cologne, too, by the way.
He does. Yeah.
Like it smells like riches and bad tweets.
I was going to say mothballs, but sure.
Money. It smells like money.
Yeah.
Like old money.
Maybe he smells terrific.
Well, he's new money, I guess, because he's a billionaire on new technology.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And speaking of new technology, if people wanted to hear the podcast, I don't even know where they'd go.
The newest technology we know about is the World Wide Web.
Oh, they
can go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com. Over 200 archived episodes. Yeah. Ben's watched those things. You're headed out on your family vacay.
Yeah.
You're going to Florida. You're going to...
Kids are in the back making
Tulsa.
Noise. You're like...
Do people vacation in Tulsa?
I don't know.
If you're listening in Tulsa, we're not trying to besmirch your fair city, but I don't know if anybody's like headed there.
I don't know.
On purpose.
I saw a chart, by the way, that what used to be Tornado Alley,
Laura
showed me this, through the mid part of the United States, through the Midwest, has now shifted all the way over to where we are.
We're
it
in
has
tornado.
To do has to do some with the moisture, I guess.
You think global warming is a...
I don't know. I'm a forecaster, but not a meteorologist. So.
You're just going to set these doomsday things, they're going to happen in your head, but you're not going to...
I'm not going
to research
it
to see whether or not they...
What
can we do?
What can I do?
Hey, our Tornado Alley has changed to us, so good luck out there.
You know what I could do?
Do you move?
Get a generator. That's the one thing I want to do.
Generator to stop
when
the
electricity goes out.
Oh, okay.
The generator itself won't stop
tornadoes. Not
like to
power an anti-tornado ray that you've developed. Fire! You just...
That's a good idea.
It'd be weird.
Yeah.
Maybe if we get enough patrons, we could develop an anti-tornado ray.
Yeah, or...
It would help people.
Or coherent thoughts. We could develop all kinds of things.
I don't want to do that.
You don't want to.
That's overrated.
If we really had this more structured, like you act like we should,
yeah.
And you keep telling all the listeners they shouldn't like
would
it.
Would we ever talk about an anti-tornado ray?
I will tell you this.
That wouldn't be in the notes.
Do you know how many emails and how many messages we get?
Yeah.
Usually every week, people saying they love it. So why are you dogging it so much? Listeners, do you want more like Johnny does, or are you just okay? Are you just okay with it? Can we ever just be okay? Don't be afraid, Johnny.
I won't.
My baby boy.
I'm going to be okay.
And I think when I said it, by the way, it was real because it was coming out in slow. It was like delayed. It was like, don't, because it,
yeah,
I mean, behind
you
the
realize
music.
This is happening.
Don't be afraid, my baby.
Because you needed another word, but
boy.
You can't go straight to boy.
Yeah.
It needed to be a bump, bump, bump.
Yeah.
So you needed a baby in there.
Baby boy. Like it was a
you're
real.
Like, I just called myself baby boy.
I did. I just.
From God.
Used the voice of God to call myself baby boy in front of everyone that I know.
Man.
And
we live to tell this tale of it, though. That's the thing is you.
We did.
It's okay.
No, I'm fine now. I mean, I'm in therapy, but who's not among us? It's not necessarily for that, though. I think you're right. I should bring it up. Like, when my subconscious spoke, it said, don't be afraid of my baby boy.
Yeah, what is
like,
that?
There may be something there.
There is.
Wow.
But maybe it's not there anymore. Maybe
no,
then you,
no, I'm
you think
I'm
it's
worse,
still there.
I'm worse. I'm more in touch with the broken side. You know what, listener? And you can be more in touch with our social media handles.
Digital side.
You should check out Johnny's Instagram. You can go to Johnny's Linktree. It's very fancy. You can find all the stuff about Johnny.
Yeah, anything you want to know. Just pull anything you want from the tree.
Yeah.
The fruit of the tree, which would be my social media links.
Yeah.
Or videos, booking links, all that stuff.
Yeah. He just shot his next dry bar. Won't come out till next year. I'm
no,
sure.
I think they said it's going to be a quicker turnaround. They said maybe like 3 months.
Wow.
So very soon. New funny things from me.
That's amazing. Can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it went well. I'm very proud of it. So I think it's going to be good. I haven't seen the edits yet, but the crowds were so great.
Yeah.
They have such great crowds there. So. Yeah, I'm really happy with it, and so we'll see. So that's a few months, and it'll be out, and I'll share the links, and you can go find it.
Yeah. Hey, and I shipped out a few more free books this week. So I'm keeping the giveaway open for the time being. So just email me, John, at johndriver.com.
Open-ended giveaway.
Well, right now, it seems like people are taking advantage of it.
And taking advantage of you, frankly.
Hey, whatever. And all I ask is that you leave an honest review on Amazon. So if you can,
that's a good deal. How are you going to beat a deal like that?
John at johndriver.com. I'll send you a not-so-black-and-white book. Got exciting interviews coming up.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to add some interview segments. We do it every once in a while. But that's right.
So, yeah, look for that. That'll be fun. Now that we're doing video, we have so many more capabilities. Plus, we got the new board. We can send people in over Bluetooth and over cell phone. It's clear as a bell.
I mean, it is a machine.
We need to pick out one of our patrons to have on the show.
Yeah.
You know, have them call in, and they get to be on the show for a segment.
Okay.
And we can interview them and go, why do you
listen? Why do you?
What?
How much money do you waste on other things?
What's wrong with you? That you like enjoy
us.
This.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to be a member of a club that would have us as a member.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like a FBI profiler. We want to know what kind of person enjoys this.
Right. Do you have disposable income?
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
Disposable time, for sure.
And if that's the case, why are you not giving more?
Yeah. What's your deal? Why do you always do this? Right. Why are you this way?
We get these $5, $20. What about that $100 champion, Johnny?
Yeah.
You start giving us $100 a month. Listen, we'll do a whole private episode for you.
Within reason.
It's no.
Let's keep it PG over here. Who wants to go to space?
Who wants to go, guys? Sign up now.
We could put like a space background anyway.
Yeah.
It would feel.
It'd be fun.
I could talk in a booming voice and sound very important.
Yeah, it's like a deep fake, a really bad deep fake.
Yeah.
You're like, this is not space.
A shallow fake.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's the title of your next book right there. Johnny Bilb, your shallow fake. Guys, thanks for spending the time with us. It means a lot. Here's hoping the music hasn't swollen to the point that it's going to drown out Johnny's amazing outro. But we'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Feeling stressed? Let's take better care of you. I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stress Less podcast. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.